Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And already, what a blessing it's been just being in this place. And so, praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. I'm going to be reading verse 22 down to verse 26 as we get back into our study in the life of Joseph. And what a tremendous Bible study it is in the book of Genesis. God has given us this Bible character named Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And the theme of his entire life is God is able to work all things out for good. And we're coming to the end of it, coming to the very last of the life of Joseph and what has been taking place. But there's been much that we've studied, many biblical principles that we have been able to glean from and make an application. We know that now Joseph, for the last chapter or two, has been preparing for his father's death. Jacob's getting ready to die. And Jacob would strengthen himself for the final act that God would have for him in this life. And that was to pass on the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, to pass on God's blessings that Isaac, his father, had passed down to him, and now he would pass them down to his sons, which would make up the 12 tribes of Israel, two of which would come from the seed of Joseph. And Joseph's two sons, Joseph would have been chosen by Jacob to receive part of the birthright blessing, the double portion of the birthright blessing. Now, Jacob would split the family's birthright between Judah and Joseph. Judah, we'll see in chapter 49 there, he was assigned the leadership of Israel and appointed to carry on the promised seed of the Messiah. And then Joseph would have been given the blessing of the double portion of the birthright. And that double portion was Joseph's two sons. Both of them would be like Jacob's own sons. They would take on the very same position as the rest of the sons of Jacob, which they would make up the 12 tribes of Israel. And it would be in blessing Joseph that his two sons would be receive the blessing. And what a blessing it was. If you study the two sons and see how God worked in their lives exactly the way that God had predicted it would be there in chapter 49, as Jacob is passing out the blessings that God has for each one of his sons. And so that's where we're at tonight. Jacob would split the family's birthright. After blessing Joseph's two sons, Jacob calls for all the sons who would make up the 12 tribes of Israel, which is actually what chapter 49 is all about. Okay, what we're going to study tonight is just the blessings on Joseph. He blesses. If you read chapter 49, you're going to find how Jacob was able to bless every one of his sons. He knew how God was going to work in their lives even before he would do it. That in itself helps us to see that we serve a sovereign God. We see a God that's able not only to see into the past and the present, but into the future. And it is going to be as God has said it would be. And it took place. Every one of the sons of Jacob, as he poured out the blessing that God told him to bless his sons with, it would come to pass. We have the blessing of history to look back, and we can see that each one did exactly what Jacob, their father, told them that God would do in their lives. They would let each one have a tribe, and they would make up the 12 tribes of Israel, but the certain types of blessings on each tribe, what each tribe would accomplish, he acknowledges it to them in chapter 49. But this is a study on the life of Joseph, so because of that, we're just studying chapter 49, verse 22 to verse 26, is what he tells Joseph. Okay? So stand with me, we'll read this passage together, and then we'll get right into the study. Genesis 49. All right, now I just sense there's a lot of tiredness here tonight. Hey, amen. I don't know what's going on and what all is happening, but I know you made it here. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you want to, you can pat yourself on the back there. You made it here tonight. You won that part of the victory, that part of the battle. But the rest of it is you got to find yourself looking forward to receive what God has for you. And this Sunday, if the Lord continues to lead in the direction He's leading me, now we're going to be preaching on serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. Gladness. Well, we'll break that down. I think it'll be a help and encouragement to us to know how we're to serve God and how that applies to every area of our lives. And yet, coming to church, I'd be glad we come into the house of the Lord, expecting to sense the presence of God, expecting for God to speak to us as we have need to be spoken to. And so, praise the Lord for it. So, plug in. Don't let the old devil rob you from what God has for us tonight. I believe we have a tremendous lesson here as we study this principle, these principles in the life of Joseph. So, let's read here. This is what Jacob, Joseph's father, right before he dies, he puts the blessings upon Joseph. Okay? So, starting in verse 42, 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for this eternal word that you have preserved for us to read and to learn of these biblical truths that are ageless, that are as applicable for us today as they were for Joseph back in his day. Truth never changes. I pray that you would just speak to us through thy word tonight, that we might be able to receive this truth, know how you would have us to make the application. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, chapter 49, again, I mentioned to you, he addresses the sons and he tells them how God is going to work in their lives. And verse 8 down to verse 12, he addresses Judah. And he says in verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. So he is giving Judah that leadership position of Israel. And Judah would be the leadership position of Israel. The kings, the great kings would come out of Judah. King David would come out of Judah. And he would lead the 12 tribes of Israel until the divided kingdom. And then you get into some other things there. But he was given Judah that blessing of the leadership. And also he appointed the seed, the promised seed, to come through the line of Judah. When he says in verse 10, he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, which would be the Christ or the Messiah, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And so we find there he did not give it to the oldest. He gave that birthright to Judah. But at the same time, he had already given the double portion of the birthright to Joseph when he told Joseph in chapter 48 that your children, your sons, would be as my sons. They would be equal. And they would have through Joseph, they would each have an equal portion of the blessings of God. Now, in addressing Joseph, he's actually addressing Joseph's two sons. Because in addressing the blessings of Joseph and what worked in his life, that's how his two sons would be blessed. They would carry on the blessings that Joseph is receiving from Jacob. And so that's what we read here tonight, verse 22 down to verse 26. Jacob's blessing of Joseph. Now, Joseph's seed would be fruitful. That's the first thing we find here. And again, as Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, as we look to the life of Joseph, we can see Christianity. We can see the fruit of Christianity. We can see how God blesses Joseph because Joseph was actually yielding to the fruit of Christianity. He was leading to the fruit of the Spirit in his how he would address things, how he would handle his life, how he lived his life was based upon the fruit of the Spirit, which would be love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance, such we find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians in chapter 5. As we have been studying the life of Joseph, can I tell you, you could pick out each one of these fruit of the Spirit and how he handled all the circumstances of his life. And because he handled them the way that God would have him to handle them, then he would produce the fruit. Because he had within him, and he was yielding to, the fruit of the Spirit, so he allowed the Spirit of God to work through him to produce the fruit that God had for his life. Christianity. Amen? If you're saved, you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. All we have to learn to do is to be filled or to yield to the Spirit and let the Spirit of God take control of our lives, take control of our thoughts, take control of our actions, and you will produce fruit, the fruit that God has you here to produce. We see it in the life of Joseph. And so, now that God has revealed to Jacob just exactly how he's to bless each one of the boys, and when he comes to Joseph, he says, Joseph is a fruitful bow. Your life has been fruitful, Joseph. Even a fruitful bow by a well whose branches run over the wall. Because of the fruit of the Spirit in him, he would be fruitful. He was a fruitful bow to Potiphar. He got there, he was a servant, he was a slave. But he realized, this is where God has planted me. And so I am going to behave myself as God would have me to behave myself because I am going to represent the God of Israel. I am going to be all that God wants me to be wherever He plants me. And he was a fruitful bow, if you will, to Potiphar. And the more Potiphar gave him, the more Potiphar was able to see that there was something different about Joseph, and everything that he had was blessed. And Joseph made no bones about it. He would always say, it's not because of me, it's because of God, the God that I serve. He was a fruitful bow to Potiphar, even though he himself was a slave. But he produced fruit. Potiphar, no doubt whoever else during that time, learned much about the God of Israel through the testimony of Joseph. Can I tell you, he was a fruitful bow to Potiphar's wife. He tried to help her. We studied that. If you remember, she laid eyes upon him and she had nothing but lustful thoughts. She had no spiritual desires. She had nothing but the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and she had a desire for him. And he tried as much as he could in that situation to say, no, it's not God's will for this to happen. And you're married. And it's God's will for you to be focused on your husband. And he tried to help her with the fruit. And he handled it exactly the way that God would have any believer to handle that kind of a place of temptation even today. As long as you can be the influence in any situation, be an influence. But when that influence starts overcoming you, when you are being influenced more than you can be the influence, you had better run. Amen? We're not to be isolationists. We're not to just sit in our house and just read the Word of God and never do anything with it. God's planted us on this earth, and He says that we are the light of the earth, the world, the salt of the earth, and we need to go out there and let our light shine. We need to go out there and be a salt, make a difference. So we need to be an influence on all that we can influence. But if it ever starts turning around, and you are beginning to be influenced more by the world than you are be able to influence them, you better back off and run away from that situation. Joseph, what a tremendous example he was. And we have it even today to read. He was a fruitful bow. It means his life was bearing fruit for God. And all he was doing is yielding to the very same fruit of the Spirit that you and I have. He was a fruitful bough in Egypt. When Pharaoh wanted him to take credit for what he was able to do in interpreting dreams. Not so, Pharaoh. This is nothing I can. It's not in me. It's only in God. And who knows how that impacted that Pharaoh and how that impacted that society of Egyptians for the cause of Christ. Amen? For God. Leading to the coming of Christ. When he was in Egypt, he behaved himself like a Christian ought to behave themselves out in the world. In your workplace. Whatever it might be, he was that example and he behaved himself as a Christian. He was bearing fruit because he was living the fruitful life. That's what the Bible's telling us here. That this is what Jacob's saying. He said, Joseph, this is what you were, and that is what you're going to pass on to your seed. Now, the 12 tribes of Israel, his two sons, were a fruitful bough. Manasseh and Ephraim. He was a fruitful bough to his family. He finally had the position. He could have taken revenge on his brothers who had sold him into slavery. And the old nature, this old sinful nature, was said, well, now it's my time. That's right, my turn. And I'm going to get even. I get to seek the vengeance that I've been looking for my whole life. Many would do that, but not Joseph. He would not give that vengeance opportunity to discourage him. He would not turn to the sin of revenge and let Satan use that to take away his peace and joy. He would not turn to that. No, he would rather turn to forgiveness. He would rather turn to long-suffering. And it was proven he was that fruitful bough. He was the Christian example to the rest of his family. And because of that, the other boys got their life turned around where they could receive the blessings of God and become the 12 tribes of Israel. He took a dysfunctional family, and because of his testimony, turned it into a very profitable, functional family for God. That's what's happening here. That's what we've been studying in the life of Joseph. And now we find that Jacob comes to the end of his life and he's telling Joseph, this is how God has blessed you, and this is how you're going to bless your seed to follow. I love what it said in verse 22 when it says, not only was he a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, but whose branches run over the wall. He went beyond what was expected of him. He didn't stay just within his own house there and produce fruit for that. His branches went over the wall. Amen. It went beyond what was expected of him. He walked that extra mile. Went beyond. Can I tell you that as a Christian, we need to not just try to get by in Christianity. We need to go beyond. Now, I believe that James chapter 4 tells us that, exactly what we find in the life of Joseph, what he did. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 10. This is how he was able to do it. Outlined in how a Christian is to live their life today. James writes, chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. All of us will have the opportunity to do that every day. Resist the devil. Every one of us will have the opportunity to do that every day. Be a fruitful bough. You can't be a fruitful bough unless you learn to do that every day. And when you do that, the Bible says, he, the devil, will flee from you. Just draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. You let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's Joseph. And that's why he was given the blessings of a fruitful bowl. Go back with me in our passage here as Jacob, and we could spend a lot of much time on studying this chapter 49. Tremendous chapter, and the insight in each one, how God blessed each one through Jacob. But we look here and focus more on Joseph here. In verse 23, the Bible says, after he was to be, he is a fruitful bow, and he's going to carry that on. He says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But yet he was still a fruitful bow. There would be battles. Can I tell you? You're going to fight battles. You're going to fight spiritual battles. You're going to fight physical battles. You're going to fight social battles. Amen. We're going to fight financial battles. Whatever it might be. In this life, there's a lot of blessings, but there's also a lot of things, if you wanted to do so, you could just focus on and you would never smile. You would never find joy. You would never rejoice. There's so much evil and so much that's so ugly. If you wanted to, you could just stay focused on all that. And again, I don't want to get off on what I'm going to be preaching someone on Sunday, but the idea there is it's there. Every one of us gets so focused on the negatives and so focused on the battles that you lose sight of life. You lose sight of joy. You lose sight of what God has given to you. We're going to see some of that in Joseph's life here in just a few minutes, but he's telling him there it wasn't easy for him to live a fruitful life. Don't expect Christianity and living for Christ to be an easy life to live. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. His own brethren. The one thing that we can do is we can trust God in the battles that we fight. Because God will not allow anything to come into our lives without a purpose. 1 Peter chapter 1, we find the very same biblical principle taught to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we find in Christianity. We've seen it in the life of Joseph as he was just looking to live a fruitful life. It's not going to be an easy life, but as we stay focused on God, we find that God controlled. God had a purpose for every event in his life. We look back now and we see every event. We read the end of the story, amen? We can understand why he had to do what he had to go through, what he had to go through. And the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, you can rejoice if you know this, though now for a season, if need be, and I've got that underlined in my Bible, it would do you good to underline that. If you don't need it, God's not going to just bring it in there just to hurt you or just to make you go through a time of struggling and suffering and crying and pain, whatever it is. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, or them temptations is also trials. When he says in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, everything will be made clear. Everything. At the appearing of Christ. We'll have glorified bodies. We won't have a body and a mind that's hindered by a sin nature. And we'll be able to see things as He sees things. And I guarantee you, you'll be in agreement with everything that He's allowed to come into our lives. Because we'll see the end. We'll see the reason for it. There would be battles. Look back over Joseph's life. We've been coming through a lot. We studied every one. Wow, what battles he faced. Look at verse 24. But his bow abode in strength. His weapons. Now it's talking about his bow, his archer's bow. His bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong. Because he abode in strength, and God was able to work through that to make him strong. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from thence as a shepherd, the stone of Israel. God was working, the mighty God of Jacob, his father, and also from the thence is a shepherd. The shepherd was watching over him all the time. They would be used to make him stronger. As long as he abode in God's strength, he would be made stronger. That's Christianity. As long as we abide in Christ, I guarantee you, if you're abiding in Christ, whatever you go through will make you stronger. The only way it will not happen, if you stop abiding in Him. If you forget that He's your strength. And you try to do it on your own. You try to handle it the way the world handles things. You try to seek the counsel of the world. And you start going in the ways of the world. No guarantee it's going to make you stronger. As long as we abide in Christ, as we go through the trials, as we go through the difficulties of life, if we abide in Christ, we can be and will be made stronger. Biblical principle. That's what Christ taught. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We see it in the life of Joseph. Coming to the end of his life, and we find the blessings, and now we see all these things being revealed and how we can relate. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is a husbandman. That's the God of Jacob. Jesus is a shepherd. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. He abode in his strength. Christ is our strength. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Even going through those trials, God's producing fruit. God's using you in a way that you might not even realize He's using you. God is affecting, touching other people's lives as you abide in Him as you go through those trials. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You try to do it your way, you look to the counsels of the world, you deal with the way the world wants you to, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to be burned up by the world. You're going to be destroyed by the world. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's Joseph. Amen. Do you see that? I mean, how can you not see the Christ-likeness in the life of Joseph and how it is very much the very same today in Christianity? These trials would be used to make him stronger. And then it closes out, Jacob closes out his blessings on Joseph with what he's going to have, the blessings. Look right there, chapter 49, verse 25 and verse 26. even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, the very same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Now, that's talking about the progenitors is a biologically related ancestries. It's going to be greater than anyone that came before you. It's going to be greater than any of the seed of Abraham that came before you. The Almighty who shall bless thee. And I love that because if He is Almighty, is there anything that He can't do? If you had a choice to have at your disposal the blessings of an Almighty and the blessings of something that is very limited, which would you choose? And yet today, so many would rather choose the world and the blessings of this life, the blessings of this world, instead of the Almighty's blessings of eternal, spiritual, eternal things. I think we just have been deceived and blinded. The Almighty who shall bless thee. Not only that, he says, the Almighty bless thee with the blessings of heaven. The world can't bless you with eternal life. The world can't bless you with a peace that passeth understanding. The world can't bless you with a joy, an inner joy that can only come from God. Just having the promise of heaven, what a blessing. Stop and think, if this really is all there is, if we would not have anything else to look forward to than this life, I don't know about you, but it would do something to take away my peace and joy and gladness. Be much more harder to stand at the casket of a loved one who has lived and died and to think, never see that person again. To have to go through something and not having a reason for it and not having an understanding of God. How do you handle things, something like that, when there's no one to turn to give an explanation and even a hope? That only comes from heaven. That only comes from understanding that there is a heaven. There is an Almighty God. And He says, He's going to help thee. He's going to help you. The Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above. God can bestow spiritual blessings. Today we have a spiritual blessing, the Comforter that dwells within us, the ever-presence of God. He also says, and this very same Almighty God can not only bless you with the blessings from heaven, He can bless you with the blessings of the deep. Now what's He talking about here? Talking about the deep wells. He's talking about the wells of water for successful crops. He's talking about provisions in this life. God can work it out and God can provide for His children. He knows our physical needs. He knows we have need of clothing. He knows we have need of food. He knows we have need of shelter. He knows all of our physical needs. And yet God, who can give us the spiritual heavenly blessings, can also give us the monetary blessings and provide the needs that we have in this life. If we look to Him, we have His promise. If we abide in Him, And the promise that Jesus gave him in Matthew chapter 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What he's saying, abide in him, and all these things shall be added unto you. The blessings of the deep. Provisions on this earth. Now the next one, the blessings of the breasts. What's he talking about there? He's talking about marriage. I'll be using some of this, that idea of the serving the Lord with gladness. I'd be glad God's given you a companion. I'll tell you what, marriage is a very great thing. God's design for two to become one. When you understand that, how can you not thank God for it? How can you not be blessed by God's plan in making a man for a woman and a woman for a man? Wow. Blessings. There would be blessings. We have that blessing on this earth. And then he said the blessings of the womb. You know what that is. Children. I don't know that anything can bring the kind of joy and happiness as picking up your own little baby. I remember being in the delivery room and I wanted them to clean her off first, you know. But they do a quick job and making sure they get everything out of the nostrils and everything out of the ear. I clean it all, suck it all out, wipe it all a little bit. But the joy, the blessings of being able to look into that little baby and think, wow, a miracle of birth. The miracle of birth. And God has given my wife and I this child that would even strengthen our relationship. Because now we have something that we have both produced and needs both of us to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God. Evolution didn't bring you that blessing. God gives you that blessing. Evolution, the mindset of evolution will take away your husband. It'll take away your wife. And then what are you going to do? How can you establish a family if you erase the procedure that God has to establish a family? That's what evolution will do for you. That God will give you the blessings to know that there's a heaven. God will give you the blessings to know we can have a marriage designed and blessed by God. We can have a family, children, designed to be a blessing in the home. He tells him in verse 26, the blessing of thy father hath prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let me share with you what that is. Hebrews chapter 11. That's biblical truth revealed in Hebrews chapter 11. Exactly what he's telling Joseph there is what the Bible tells us today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. After giving us all these examples of those that live by faith in the Old Testament. Verse 39, he says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received or did not experience the promise. For God, having provided some better thing for us, better than our progenitors. That's a new word for me. Progenitors. Better. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's what we have that they did not have. The example of Jesus Christ. They would have the example of Joseph. And that would make a difference in Joseph's family. That would make a difference wherever Joseph was. His testimony for Christ made a difference to all of those that were impacted by his life. And he was a fruitful blessing. He was able to bear the fruit of God to anyone and everyone he was around. We have even more. For us to be in Christ is a greater blessing than any others who have ever lived before this church age dispensation. As Joseph lived to represent God, he did a great job. We studied the life of Joseph. He represented Christ. So should we. We'd be more accountable. We have more than what even Joseph had. Let us represent our Christ well, after the same manner of Joseph. Blessings come from the Almighty. There's going to be trials, but not without purpose. And if you stay focused on all the blessings, there's going to be great joy. And if you come back Sunday, you'll understand how we can serve God with gladness. Amen. I get every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how are you doing in your Christian life? Can you see Joseph in you? In the trials and the troubles and all the different things you're facing, can you see a little Joseph maybe? Are you following in that very same type of testimony? Are you representing God as God would have you to represent Him wherever you're at and whatever situation you're in? If not, no better time to start than tonight. And as you do that, can I tell you, you'll find there's joy in abiding in Christ. There's joy and gladness. I'm not going to have a musical invitation. There's always an invitation. If you have need to come, we encourage you to come. Make that decision before you leave. Anyone else? Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the testimony of Joseph and all the biblical principles we've studied and learned, and how that as we study that in the life of Joseph, we see it revealed in Christianity today. We see the very same instructions, the very same lifestyle. Help us to live that Christian life, to serve the Lord, and to represent Him well. Bless now as we get ready to leave. I pray that You'd watch over us, get us all home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.